I've been thinking about this past fall and the month of October, just completed in October, my 46th year here is pastoral ministry, pastor of SRBC. And previous to that, I had been here for 6 years with our first pastor, serving in different capacities in the church, and then had 1 year off in Florida for good behavior. So if you put it all together, 52 years of serving the Lord in and through this local church right here, Scranton Revival Baptist Church. You know, sometimes people talk negatively about church and their church. By the way, if you're doing that, you should shut your mouth. Don't do that. If you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all, somebody said. I think that was Thumper that said that, but it's biblical. And I get my theology from... But, you know, sometimes people like to say there are cliques in the church. And I want to say, and I've said it many times, there should be. Everyone should be clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. And in our scripture today, Paul is featured as the man of God who went as a missionary pastor all over the Roman Empire. And he went as an apostle, and he would lead in going out soul winning. He would lead in getting people saved and baptized, and then training the new converts to do the same thing. And as we come here to 2 Timothy, it's kind of at the end of his life, the end of his ministry. And when we come to chapter 4, it's the last chapter, so it comes to kind of a crescendo, a climax, if you will. And Paul is writing to Timothy, who has studied under him and with him and has served with him and is now a preacher himself. And Paul is giving Timothy some advice here that's inspired. And I'd like you to look with me this morning at what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Keep in mind that he'd been released from house arrest. He had done some things in ministry. Now he's rearrested, and the Emperor Nero is ready to execute him. And he's in the Mamertine prison there near the Tiber River, and he's kind of chilly and cold. It's wintry, kind of like today. And he asked for a coat and some other things that Timothy would bring him. But here's what he wrote to Timothy. He said, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And that's what I want to lift out for my message to you this morning. Mark, bring him with thee, Paul said, because he's profitable to me for ministry. And I want to ask you this question. Are you profitable for the ministry? Are you profitable for the ministry? And I want to say from 2 Timothy 4, three things about that. Number one, because God gives leaders like Timothy who are profitable for the ministry. I want to say that the man of God and your man of God here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church needs to cultivate leadership so that there are leaders that come to the fray. I'm talking about pastors, evangelists, missionaries, youth pastors, and men of God that would come to maturity that could help him in the ministry like Timothy was to the Apostle Paul. Now, I want you to notice in verse 9, he says to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." I'm so glad that the man of God could talk to another man of God who was a leader, and he could be encouraged by that man of God. I thank God when God calls somebody to the ministry. I thank God when he called Brother Eric Zukowski to be a pastor. And he served faithfully as a pastor in the youth ministry in our church and been a man of God. And it's a blessing to me to pray with him on Thursday and to share and to have that pastoral fellowship. There's something about pastors being able to share with each other. And I believe that a church that is doing the ministry will not only see people saved and baptized and growing in the Lord, but it will see young men that are, listen to me, called to preach and to serve as pastors in the ministry. And so that is such a good thing, and that's something that we want to see, because God gives leaders like Timothy who are profitable for the ministry. I don't make pastors. I don't make preachers. God makes them. But I try to have an environment where when God makes them, they'll not be destroyed. They'll not be spoiled by what is going on here. And it will be a good place for them to be. And I think about that with the Bible here. And your man of God is not going to be successful if he's not seeing other preachers reproduced who believe and act on his ministry of preaching and teaching God's word. Notice in verse 13, he says to Timothy, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." In other words, some men of God are not available when the man of God needs something. They're not available, so they're really not that profitable for the ministry. I can remember having our church years ago when I first started to pastor. I went to Baptist Bible. I graduated from there, and I had other graduates from Baptist Bible that were here. And I remember I started a course on how to witness and how to win people to Christ and how to get them saved. And I taught that course. And I remember some of the people, and one in particular, "Well, I've been through Bible college. I know all about that. I don't need to learn anything from the man of God." And let me say something, that maybe they had it in their head, but they didn't have it in their life. And they needed to learn from the man of God what the ministry was all about. And I think about 2 Timothy and what it says here in chapter 2, and I'll read it. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." In other words, we need to see men called of God to be preachers, and that they can get with the man of God and learn, listen to me, what the ministry is all about. You don't get that just from going to a Bible college. I think of men, they go to Bible college and they think because they got a degree and they hold up their Bible college degree that Satan is afraid of them. No, he's not. That's not the ministry. That's not the ministry. I went to Bible college, and I've seen people that have gone through Bible college, and they felt like because they had a degree, they were somehow leaders. No, they were not leaders. God says that Timothy, you have been taught certain things, and now you're to train others, and these men of God will be able to teach others. I remember Brother Zukowski back in 2017. He was thinking about going to Bible college in Kentucky. No offense, Abby. He was thinking about going there to where Abby graduated from. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great school. But I remember having lunch with him and his family. And I remember sharing scripture with him that I thought the best way to learn to be a preacher would to be getting with the man of God who's doing the ministry and learning how to be a preacher, as well as studying higher doctrine that you can get and bring into the church to do that. And out of that, we had Sons of the Prophets Baptist College. And thank God for Sons of the Prophets Baptist College. And thank God for Brother Zukowski. I would put up a man like this against a lot of people that go through Bible college and never get with the man of God and never know what the ministry is all about. You know, the Israeli army, the generals are not like in the American army. The American army, the generals send the men out to battle and they stay back. And they tell them what to do. And the men do all the fighting. But no, in the Israeli ministry, they not only plan the battle attack, but they lead the army into battle. They go out and they lead the army into battle. And we've got too many preachers today that are telling the people what to do, but they're not leading in what they're supposed to be doing. And so I'm just saying that your man of God looks for men who would be preachers to be trained and are humble enough to serve under the man of God like Timothy did with Paul. And by the way, that's what Joshua did with Moses. And that is how God works in the ministry. I know I went to Bible college. I graduated from Bible college. But a lot of what I learned was being with the man of God and learning under the man of God and working in that situation. And I'm just saying to you, are you profitable for the ministry? Because God gives leaders like Timothy who are profitable for the ministry when the church is doing what the church is supposed to be doing. And you know what? It's sad. In a lot of churches, men of God, they go and they preach what they learned in Bible college, and when they're all done with that, they move on and try to get another church. But really what needs to be done, and men of God need to stay long enough until God produces other men of God who can do the ministry. And that is so important to profit people, to have men of God that are not just like hireling ministers. They're just hired and they're in it for the money. Let me tell you, I've been here 47 years, and if I was in it for the money, I would have left a long time ago. I remember at one time I didn't get paid for 3 years. And I stayed and did the ministry. Somebody has said, don't seek the office, seek the function. Look for somebody that's not a hireling. So many times today, people come out of Bible college, they want to know, how much am I going to get paid? And when I came here, I got paid El Zippo as a pastor when they called me. El Zippo. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily the way to do it, but I'm just saying that we got too many hirelings today. Too many people today that are just working for men, they're not serving the Lord. You can't be profitable for the ministry unless you're in it for God. Paul said about Timothy, he said, I don't have anybody like him. He said, Timothy has a heart for what he's doing. He loves what he's doing. He's doing it because it's not a job. He's doing it because it's his heart. Boy, that's what we need today. You know, I've often said, I've used this illustration that a mother, when a baby cries and she's a breastfeeding mother, the milk automatically starts secreting out of her breast when that baby cries. It's just natural. It's what God made. You know what? That's the way it needs to be for the ministry. That men of God, they need to hear the cry and the need of the people. And there needs to be men of God being called out of the church. And that needs to be happening. And you young men that are here, don't be afraid to respond to the call of God like Samuel did. Samuel kept going to Eli, and Eli said, finally, oh, it's the Lord that's speaking to you. You just say, Lord, you speak. I'm listening. I'm your servant. And God calls young men to the ministry today. And are you profitable for the ministry? And you say, well, what's the ministry, Pastor? The ministry is the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're to get the gospel out, get people saved, and then get them baptized and joining the church and get them involved in that great commission of Jesus Christ. Are you profitable? Are you involved in that great work that the local church is supposed to be involved in? Well, if you are, it's because God gives leaders like Timothy that are called to preach, and they're being trained to preach in and through the local church. But number two, because the world lures away servants like Demas who were profitable for the ministry, but they're not anymore. I want you to notice verse 10 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me. Timothy, you come. But Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You know, just like Timothy was called to God and was profitable for the ministry, so there are others that one time were profitable for the ministry, but they've been lured away. By the way, can I say to you that Satan knows how to lure you away from the ministry? I'm talking about the ministry of the church. A soul-winning church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, a church that baptized. He knows how to lure you away. He doesn't do it all at once. Satan seduces you, and he uses the world. You know, there are all these techniques on seduction and how a man can seduce a lady. What a sad thing that is. How to seduce her to take her purity from her. And learn all about a lady to find out how to take her purity from her. And that's the world in which we live. But that's how Satan is. He sees you're the bride of Christ. He sees you're a precious virgin and that you're supposed to keep yourself. Listen to me. This is old-fashioned as the Bible. You're supposed to keep yourself a virgin until you marry the man that God has for you. You're supposed to be a man if you're a lady. Amen? That's right. Ladies that go after ladies. Men that go after men. Gross. Sinful. Wicked. That I should have to say this from this pulpit is sick. But Satan is messing people up. And he wants to take away and seduce women away gradually from the purity and get the confidence and get confident in this person. Oh, he's wonderful. This guy is so wonderful. And he's out for that to take away your purity. And he worms his way in and gets into that position where, boom, he can do that. And that is what Satan does with the bride of Christ. He lures you away. I think of Lot. He first of all, just started looking at Sodom. He just looked over there. Right. Watch what you're looking at. Watch what you're staring at. What you look at, you're going to be thinking about. What you're thinking about, you're going to be doing the not too long. And then he didn't just look. Then he started to move his tent and pitch it towards Sodom. So he could get up in the morning and look at it. He could look at it at night. By the way, the first thing you ought to do in the morning, not get your cell phone, you ought to get in this Bible right here. And get with God in prayer. The last thing you ought to do at night is do that. And the first thing most of you do, I gotta check my cell phone. I gotta check my social media. Oh, I feel sorry for you. You're being lured away from your first love. I don't want to be lured away from my first love, but I know that Demas was a man of God. He was profitable for the ministry. Paul could count on him. Why? Because the same God that Paul loved, Demas loved. And you read about Demas over and over again in Paul's letter. Demas is here. Demas is with me. Just like Timothy was. But no longer. Why? Because Demas got lured away and he went up into Thessalonica. And church history says he didn't go to the honky-tonk bars in Thessalonica and just go out for the world. He went into a worldly Christianity. You know, there's a worldly Christianity that will give you the world light. You can have the world light. It entertains you. It's there. The church is there to entertain you with the contemporary music of today. That's not bringing you to God. The church is there to entertain you with a quote, modern translation of the Bible, which is just a corruption of the pure Word of God. The church is here to entertain you, not for you to get involved in ministry, not for you to have the heart of the ministry, but for you to just be in a money-making enterprise and get into it. But listen, that is not what Christ died for. He does not want that kind of a church. He wants you to realize that, are you profitable for the ministry? There are many that are being lured away like Demas was lured away. Once you love the preacher, once you love the preaching of the Word of God, once you wanted to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, now you have to be drug there, like Tony Evans said. So he said, I was raised on drugs, Tony Evans. He said, I was drugged to church Sunday morning. I was drugged to church Sunday. I was drugged to church Wednesday. I used to be drugged to church by my mother. Now she's so old, I got to drag her to church. But I'm just saying, my wife's going, oh boy, don't say that. Just joking, Mom. But I'm just saying that you get lured away and your heart is not with the ministry. You've lost the heart. I feel sorry for you. You're in ministry, but you're trapped. You're like being trapped in a bad marriage. You've lost the heart for what you have. And that's what happened. And I want to ask you, are you profitable for the ministry? Because God gives leaders like men of God, like Timothy, who are profitable and who stay profitable. And then he has others that the world has lured away like Demas from the ministry. And no longer are they profitable. I like what A.L. Williams said. Brother Bob knows about this. A.L. Williams started a great company. He was a football coach. He said, if you want to be profitable to a team, whichever team it is, you got to, number one, show up. If you don't show up, you're not profitable. Three to thrive, right? Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Monday, show up. He said, number two, you got to work hard. And number three, you got to live right and don't lose your testimony. You got to live right so that you're a testimony, so that you abstain from any kind of evil or anything that would appear evil to the world, to the unsaved world. You got to live right. You got to show up. You got to work hard. And you have to live right to be profitable to this ministry, to the testimony of this church, to the work that this church is doing. And what's the greatest work that this church is doing? Get people saved that Christ died for. Get them baptized so they can join the church and have the heart to serve the Lord. Are you profitable for the ministry? Or have you been lured away? Have you been seduced away by the world, the flesh, through the working of Satan? Oh man, I don't want to be there. I've been in the ministry here as a pastor for 46 years complete, and another 6 years, 52 years total. And I can say to you, I still show up. I still work hard. I still love the ministry. I still love the Lord of the ministry. If I didn't, it's time for me to get out. Get out. You know, nobody doubts that Joe Biden should leave. But Donald Trump's just as old as Joe Biden. He's not ready to leave. He's ready to lead. Lead, follow, or get out of the way, they say. I'm just saying, are you profitable for the ministry? God gives leaders like Timothy, yes, they are profitable. And you young men of God, seek the function, not the office. God will give you the office. If you're functioning like you should and helping a man of God, you're helping a youth pastor, you're helping a pastor, you're helping men of God, God will give you a place. I'm just saying, we've lost this, and we got to get back to it. And number two, we got men of God, but the world is luring them away like demons. You were profitable, but now you've gotten away from soul winning. Now you've gotten away from giving the tithes and offerings. Now you've gotten away from showing up free to thrive and four or more to win the war. And so God is speaking to your heart, I believe, today. And number three, are you profitable for the ministry? Because God gives you an opportunity to be profitable. I want to read the verse again. Mark, he said of Mark in 4:11, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now remember, Mark had been taken by Paul in the first missionary journey. He was a young guy. He felt like he was called, you know. And he was going to help Paul, and he was going to help his uncle Barnabas, and they were going on this missionary work. But he got through the island of Crete, and then he got on the mainland over there, and they had some satanic opposition. And Mark just got afraid, and he said, I've got to go home. And he went home, and he failed Paul, and he just quit on Paul, and Paul was discouraged by Mark and how he was. And basically, he said to Barnabas, I'm not going to take Mark. He's not profitable. He's a hindrance. Can I say something to you? If you want to be profitable for the ministry, you should never be a discouragement to the man of God in the ministry. You should be somebody that encourages the man of God. You say, what are you talking about? Here's what the Bible says. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Talking about the pastoral staff. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For this is unprofitable for you. The preacher has to give account to God for his pastoral ministry and for how he feeds you, leads you, does the things that he does in your life. He's going to have to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. And so it says you should submit yourselves for they that watch for your souls. You know, a pastor has a special gift to watch out for your soul and to warn you when you're getting off course. And you say, well, I don't have to listen. It's not that important. He's warned me. I don't have to worry. Hey, you can either learn by the hard knocks of life and then live, or you can you can either live by the hard knocks of life and then learn by getting knocked around, or you can learn first by listening to wise counsel and then live. I've been around here for 47 years. How long have you been here? About 20 years. It's a long time. Men of God that know something because they're called of God, and number two, they have some wisdom to give you. You can benefit from that and get that counsel and then live on it, or you can just ignore it and go hurt yourself. And then come back later and say, oh, I learned my lesson the hard way. I learned from the hard knocks of life. It says he must give an account, so submit yourself that they watch for your soul, that you can give them joy and not give them grief, because that is not profitable for you. In other words, if a man of God is grieved over you, and by the way, men of God cry and grieve over your life when it's not right. Right? They grieve. It's not just we're trying to give you a lecture, not just preaching at you. It's like we're grieving for you. We want you to succeed. If you succeed, we succeed. And what a blessing it is to see somebody. What an encouragement to see Diane Payone get that she got. What an encouragement it is to see Jose Valley going forward, Matt McWhorter going forward and being blessed. What an encouragement that is. And that doesn't bring grief and pain to the man of God. It's not profitable to you if you're bringing pain to the man of God. And I'm just saying that. I know Matt is in Ohio, and Barry Finkler's back there watching and listening. Hey, Barry. And I went out with Barry yesterday on bus ministry, and we went visiting and knocking on doors and so forth. And I said to Barry, you're profitable to Matt for the ministry. You're helping Matt. But you know what? Matt has worked with the man of God and followed the counsel of the man of God and taken the rebukes and the encouragements and all of that. He's proven himself to be a faithful man. God's not looking for the sharpest knife in the drawer. God's not looking for the best looking person. God is looking for somebody that'll be faithful to him, that'll be humble, that will have a heart for him. And so I'm just saying that are you profitable in that way for the ministry, or have you been pulled aside from that? And I'm just saying that your man of God knows those who are disappointments in the ministry. I'm talking about dropping out. You've done something and you used to do it, but no longer are you doing it. Used to pray and love God, but now you're not praying like you used to. Used to give tithes and offerings, but you've quit doing that. Used to come to church 3 to 5 Sunday mornings. You're not doing that anymore. I don't say where are you. I say what direction are you moving in? Not where do you stand. What direction are you? Are you moving away and going the other way, or are you moving in the right direction? That is what you need to do. And so I'm just saying, the man of God knows if you're moving back away from where you were. Think about it yourself. Have you been in a place where you've been closer to God? More in love with the Lord? More in love with His Word? More in love with His work? In love with the... Is your heart getting cold to that? And sometimes when that happens, people seek replacements. They seek, instead of getting excited about the Lord and His work, they look for things in the world that can replace that. Amusements. Let me tell you, don't get replacements. Brother Joe has said it, the nearest place to heaven is in the local church and seeing what God's doing. And when is our... I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy, Bobby, that Michigan game. But you know when I watched that Michigan game? I watched it after 5 hours of bus ministry. After going out all over and then up into Carbondale and down into Scranton and down into Olive, all over the place. And I watched it recorded late at night. Late at night. And Sergeant already told me the score, so I was able to relax a little bit. Don't do that normally. I'll take it from Sarge this time. But that's not my first love. It's up there. But that's not my first love. My first love is my wife right there. No. It's the Lord. What are you laughing at? It's the Lord. The Lord. And when you love the Lord, you're going to love your wife. You're going to love the church. You're going to love the ministry. You know who my favorite preacher is? Me. You know why? Because I'm doing what God wants me to do. And therefore, I love it. Some people are looking for preachers all over the place. They're not, just like some women, they're looking for some man to submit to, and they're not submitting to their own husband. You're looking for somebody out there, but God's got the one right there for you. You just need to get right with God. You'd be amazed how your husband will change. I'm just saying today, are you profitable for the ministry? Are you profitable for the ministry? And that is so important. And so I'm just saying that You can be, and you should be profitable for the ministry. How about this? Encouragements for you to be profitable to the man of God in the ministry. You know what the first one is? If you are profitable in the ministry, you're going to receive direct rewards from the Lord for being profitable to the man of God. Listen to this. It says in 2 Timothy 1:16. Here's what it says. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. I like what it says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. You know what that's talking about? The family. You know what? I thank God for families that are profitable for the ministry. Whole families that are serving God in the church. I think of the Bajeski family. That whole family is serving God. I like to see the Zukowskis and the Bajeski right in the front row there. Whole families that are serving God in the church. Thank God for that. And I think of the Bajeskis back there, the Bajeskis up here, and I think of the Zukowskis. Must be that E at the end, Zukowski, Bajeski. But I thank God for the Bajeskis, the Zukowskis, and I think about playing the violin and playing the instrument there, the bass, and the piano and the organ. The whole family profitable for the ministry. And I think of the Ganos and so forth. And what a blessing that is to see that. And that's a good example to follow, that they're building their lives around the ministry, and their families are getting that same heart, and that is such a blessing. And it says there that the Lord is going to reward that house of Onesiphorus. I think of what my secretary said. She's here and she asked for prayer about a furnace, and they didn't have a furnace. The furnace broke down, and God provided an answer to prayer for that furnace to be done. God provided it. Just as sure as I'm standing here, He provided it. Why? Because they're serving the Lord. He's rewarding them. And that's just rewards in this life. Wait till the judgment seat of Christ comes. Wait till the kingdom comes. There'll be great rewards for that. People think, oh, I'm getting ahead, man, in this world. The last will be first, and the first will be last in this world. It's all going to turn around. If you're not profitable for the ministry, you'll be last. And those that are profitable will be first when He hands out those rewards. That's what He's saying here. A second motivation and encouragement for you to be profitable in the ministry is not only the rewards you're going to receive from the Lord, but you may be charged by God, listen, for forsaking being profitable for the man of God to the ministry. Listen to this. Here's Paul in verse 16, 2 Timothy 4. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. What's he saying? He's saying, they didn't stand with me, the man of God, when I needed it. And he said, I pray to God, God will not lay that to their charge. But if he prayed that, that means that probably it will be laid to your charge unless God intervenes. So if you forsake the man of God and the work of God because of some selfish reason or some Satan trickery on you, you could be charged for it by God. In other words, God could take things from you that you would get as blessings if you stayed with it. And so don't be charged for forsaking the man of God and the ministry. Now, some people say, well, I'm doing good, so the ministry of the Great Commission is not as important, working with the man of God, clicking, that's not important. I'm doing good in my life. I'm doing a lot of good. That's a trick of the devil. The good is the enemy of the best. Don't ever be tricked by that. He's just tricking you away, and you will lose out. You will be charged for forsaking. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. I'm just saying to you, you could get charged. And some people say, well, I don't need to be in church. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you need to be in church. And not just in church, but once you get in church, you need to get involved in the ministry. So you'll get blessed and rewarded if you are. You'll be charged if you're not. And thirdly, you've been ordained by God Himself to profit from the man of God in the ministry, which is the service that God would have you to do. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, we're saved by God's free gift. He gives us the free gift of salvation. We don't deserve it. And we receive it from the Lord. Just like at Christmas, you get gifts, your kids get gifts. You know they didn't work for it, but you love them and you give it to them. God gives you salvation as a gift. But what does it say in verse 10? It says, for we are His workmanship, right there, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. That's ministry, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has ordained that if you're really saved, that you would have part in this ministry. Say, how can I do that? By your tithes, by your offerings, by your learning to share the gospel, by your prayers, by your participation in whatever part you can play. You can be part of the ministry and be profitable for the ministry, because that's what God has ordained for you as a child of God. Number three. Number four, You are being exhorted even this morning as I'm preaching to take part and be profitable in this ministry. It says in Colossians 4:17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. You know what? God has a ministry, and he wants you to take heed to it, that you fulfill it. You know, sometimes a person will get saved, they'll come forward and get baptized. By the way, you need to receive Christ, and then when you receive him, you need to get baptized. As soon as you get baptized, you should join the church. Amen. And I've seen folks do that, and you don't grow if you don't get baptized and join a church. You just don't. And then show up and be there. But then I look at somebody like that, and I say, help get this. I find somebody involved in the ministry, and I'll say, help get this young man or this young lady involved now in doing something. And sometimes I'll challenge somebody and say, hey, why don't you show up and do this and help somebody that's helping the man of God? You may not directly help the man of God, but you can help somebody that's helping the man of God. Like on bus ministry, we need bus workers. Like on soul winning training, we need workers for that. I'm talking about helping people that are helping the man of God in ministry. I mean giving tithes and then the faith promise offering to missions. That has helped us. We want to run a third bus route with a 72-passenger bus. And we need that. We need somebody that can do a CDL driver that could drive for the B bus route. We could use a CDL driver so that we could get one family working down at Wilkes-Barre and fill a 72-passenger bus. All we need is somebody that would step up and say, I need a school bus endorsement. Pastor, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to help out. There are different ways that God can use you to be on the team so that we can be a winning team and we can reach this area that God wants us to be. Is our church profitable for the ministry? I believe it is. But we can be more profitable if you do your part. And God is calling you, like Archippus, he said, take heed to what God is calling you to do. God burdens you, and he uses the preaching of the word to get involved. And let me just say one more thing about this. Don't let somebody take your crown. If you won't do it, God will find somebody to do it. You say, my grandfather, listen to this. My grandfather was called to be a preacher. He was from Holland. That was called Dominee. He told me when I got called to preach, he said, or at least I thought I was being called to preach, and I was later called. But he said to me, he said, Randy, he said, don't be like me. I was called to be a Dominee, and he said, I didn't do it because my friends mocked me. My friends mocked me for wanting to be a preacher. And he said, I didn't do it. And he got chastened in his life. He said, don't be like that. And he cried and he gave me money to go to college to study for the ministry. And my grandfather's looking down from heaven. And when he can see me, I'm sure he's happy that his oldest grandson is a preacher. You guys, if God calls you to be a preacher, you be a preacher. And you ladies, if God calls you to be Joyce Meyer, he ain't doing that. You know, Joyce Meyer, her husband sits there. Well, she preaches with his legs crossed. I can't even cross my legs. He sits there with his legs crossed. God help him. We need some men that have manliness in the ministry. If men are going to be called to the ministry. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about a question.